Hoskin.
Radio you can touch.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
People are going to be robbed from hearing my thought. Maybe they'll want to hear what you have to say, but I just feel like they'll want to hear what I have to say about it. You try to act like I don't know anything, and then the real world slaps you in the face.
I hear you loud and clear.
Jeff Lutz.
Man, if I had seen you, I might have... I gotta punch that Bob.
You're not thinking about punching anybody.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Only the best for your special playtime.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. It's a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz here for the next 2 hours to entertain and inform. Max Power is there to press buttons.
I can't wait to inform.
East Wichita studio. Well, I inform every day.
Can't wait to inform people today.
Well, people tune in. I put a post out on Facebook on our 9-year anniversary, which was yesterday. I can't tell you how many people responded with appreciation for how much I informed them.
I can. I can tell you exactly how many.
Well, how many?
Well, you can't say how many if a number doesn't exist. So I guess there is some truth to that. You cannot tell us how many because there are no many.
Well, you just came in. You're so jealous.
What am I jealous of?
If you put a post up and begging for a response, a post no one could understand.
Well, that's not my problem.
No one could understand it. You tried to explain it again. No, just crickets. Huh? Yeah, I've never seen a...
So it's now my responsibility that people are dumb?
No, they're not dumb. I didn't get it.
Well, that's, again...
Nobody wants to go through something and do a whole bunch of math and...
It's not much math.
If I lived to be 31, I'd like... No. You got no response.
It was just a question of how much time would you have wanted to spend in childhood versus how much time you wanted to spend in adulthood.
I'm perfectly fine with the way life is.
If you can't, then say that. If you can't...
You're just upset that fell flat.
If I'm now...
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
No, hold on. If I'm now some math guru... Then you got big problems. If I'm too advanced in math for you, then maybe you do need to take a second look at your intelligence.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. You thought, oh, man, I got this great idea.
It was a great idea.
I want to put it out there. I want to see. Oh, this response is going to be unbelievable. People are going to really get into this and think
it through. I don't care what people think, but it was a great idea.
And here's what happened.
I overestimated the intelligence of my friends.
Let the quiet encapsulate the...
Right, I overestimated your intelligence. I overestimated the intelligence of many of my friends.
How do you honestly feel about it? Because it just
felt
completely.
Well,
even your wife didn't respond.
My wife doesn't care what I'm posting on Facebook.
David Michael Hahn didn't.
David Michael Hahn's a loser, and I don't.
Who did respond?
I love David Michael Hahn. He's a winner at life.
Who did respond?
Who cares?
A couple people said it was. No, they didn't get it.
Well, that's on them.
It was a massive failure.
For me, it was pretty straightforward.
And try to explain it right here.
And if your reading comprehension is that of a child or lesser...
Try to explain it right now what it was, because we're leaving some holes in the story.
You get to divide your life. I give you 100 years, right? And you get to divide your life... You get to divide your life between childhood and adulthood... In those 100 years. So if I want to spend 45 years from 0 through 18, I want to extend that part of my life, then I have 55 years left to spend, and I die at age 73.
That makes no sense.
Why?
It just doesn't make any sense.
What doesn't make sense about it?
So you said you give you 100 years, but if I want to spend, so it's the first 18 you can... You can stretch out to as many as you want?
No, or you can do that. Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Why didn't you explain it like that? You get the first 18 years. There's a way to explain it that would have worked.
I think I did explain it pretty well.
You get 100 years. How many of those years do you want to be wrapped up in the first 18 years?
Right, your childhood.
I'd take 35 years there.
So you take 35 years, you'd have 65 left, you'd die at age 83.
All right, I'll take that. 35 years in childhood. Who wouldn't take that?
That's a pretty good deal. Some people would want their childhood to go quickly, and we'll spend 5 years in that, and I'll die at after 95 years at 113.
Well, is my childhood going to be at 1034 North Baltimore in Derby?
Sure.
Well, then I'll take it.
You can, spend it however you want.
It still made no sense.
I liked it. And I continue to like.
And then you went back and said, come on, people.
Yeah, you guys are idiots. And
it's a shame. That was a shame.
It's not great, but who does it say more about, me or them? Them.
No. Here's what happened over the weekend. We picked football games every week. And I'd pretty much given up on myself because I started so poorly and just couldn't have a good week. For weeks and weeks, this went on. Tell me more, you ask? I was 2-6, 2-6, 2-6 the first 3 weeks. Then I went 6-2, 5-3, 6-2, but then I fell into another malaise. But here's what happened this week, last week. You went 3-5, but you lost your bonus game, and you only come up with 2 points.
That's wrong.
No, it's not.
That's wrong.
You got Texas right.
That's
you got
three.
Michigan right.
That's four.
You got Green Bay right.
Yeah, that's 11.
Okay.
I didn't get Minnesota.
Your bonus game was 9.
Yeah, whatever. Next.
Duda was 4-4, but he missed his bonus game for 10. So he ends up with 6 points. Max had a pretty good week. So did the big fella. They had good weeks. I had a great week. 6-2, got the bonus game, picked the Raiders, believe it or not, for 7. 29 points I get for the week, and I have now passed you comfortably.
Cool.
And I am only 1 point behind Duda. I am the leader now in games picked at 50-62, which speaks to the...
So you're losing a lot of money still.
Yeah. But I'm back where I belong.
Second place. Congratulations.
How do you feel about that? What's happened to you, by the way?
Do you want me to tell you the truth? Or do you want me to drum it up for show purposes?
You try to win.
Sure.
You put your best effort
into
this.
But if I don't, if I miss Clemson, South Carolina, if I don't know enough about that game.
I got that one right.
To pick it correctly, am I losing sleep?
I got that one right.
Kay, you bothered me.
Kay, you laid an egg. K-State laid an egg. Both teams laid an egg. But you picked K-State.
I did for 2. Just for good feelings.
We're going to talk more about K-State with Tim Fitzgerald coming up at 2:25. Tim, of course, of GoPowerCat.com. If you listen to this show, you know that already. So Fitz is going to weigh in on the Cats. And we'll talk about the... Not only the football team, which I think would be a disappointment to most K-State fans, but where are they with men's basketball?
Hard to say. They haven't really had a game that you kind of had to see.
They might be the most anonymous team in the history of the state. I couldn't, as I told your father-in-law yesterday at our great Thanksgiving celebration that we were invited to, thank you for that invitation.
You're welcome.
By the way, I got a story to tell about that.
Some cat. Who cares? Big deal.
As I told him, I can't name one player on K-State's men's basketball.
Yeah, but
basketball.
You can.
I'd have to think.
David Gasson is still there.
Yeah, but that's, I wouldn't think of him.
Coleman Hawkins, the guy they signed for a bunch of
money.
I
would think of him only because he showed up at the Illinois game in Kansas City last week in his Illini jacket. That couldn't have gone over that well with K-Staters.
It's not
great. And
that's
the problem with the transfer portal.
They got Doug McDaniel. They got that other kid from Villanova. They got Ekor.
Yeah, don't try to. You know, don't try to make up for your horrific Facebook posts, your terrible weekend picks, and the fact that your favorite cat, Nettie Harris.
Not my favorite cat, my best bud.
That's your favorite cat.
Well, who'd she spend the rest of the evening with? Not you.
Only because you begged. Treats. I got treats. It was pathetic.
She loves treats.
Tell the listeners what happened.
She wanted attention from other people at the gathering
And
yesterday.
What other people did she select?
Everybody.
What other people
Aaron,
did?
Aaron, Shannon.
Tell the story.
There's no story.
Tell the story
she
about
came
how
and sat by you for about 30 seconds.
Sat by me, sat on my right leg. I was petting her probably for 4 minutes, and then you got all worked up about it.
Yeah, because Misty never comes to me or anything.
I know. I don't get worked up about it.
Yeah,
Misty's
you do.
She's a friendly dog.
Secretly, you do.
I love the
I
fact
see the look
that
in
Misty,
your eye.
Misty loves everyone. And that's one of her great, well, most dogs do. That's one of her most endearing qualities. But your cat sat on my leg, and we were having a wonderful time.
Who cares?
And,
she sits on my, I mean,
and didn't pay a darn thing of attention to you. So there
she
you
knows.
Go.
She knows. She already knows.
What time did the youngster head back to Manhattan?
She went back this morning.
Really? Stayed that long?
Yeah, she spent the night.
Must have gone early this morning.
Fairly early. I don't know what her schedule was like today.
Aren't you kind of glad I was there just to ask questions of the kid?
What do you mean?
Well, I was curious. I'm sure you're curious about some of the things I ask her.
I knew most of it.
You didn't know her class schedule.
Not for next semester, no.
Well, I'm inquisitive that way.
Well, good.
What do you? Why do you get so angry when you come over here?
I'm not angry, but why do you need to feel like you need to one-up me all the time and everything? Big deal. You came over, you saw
her. I one-upped you with your cat, with pics.
Don't care about pics.
Oh, now we don't care about pics.
No, not really. Give us some basketball game. Give us something interesting.
Everything's interesting.
Minnesota, Arizona. I mean, come on.
No, the Chiefs in Las Vegas as the bonus pick was interesting. We were all over the place. We had two people pick it. For high points.
Yeah, we made bad picks.
And I don't know why you'd pick Kansas City at this point to cover a double-digit spread against anyone. And by the way, I know the Raiders aren't any good, but Brock Bowers, that guy's a player. They need six more, and so is Max Crosby. And if you don't like Max Crosby, if you don't appreciate the way he plays, then you're not a sports fan.
Really?
Yeah, where's Cap when I need him?
Give him a call.
That's really maybe the first time all year I've watched the Raiders, and I wasn't that turned off by them. Aiden O'Connell's an okay guy. He's not their long-term answer, but he played well.
Sure.
They gave the Chiefs, they should have won the game.
The Chiefs' defense has not been nearly as good recently as it was early on in the season. They've made, Bryce Young has been better, but they made him look competent. Aiden O'Connell looked good. This shouldn't be happening to the Chiefs. They need one dominant side of the ball. They're just pretty much okay in both.
You thought they were going to dominate that game.
They should have.
And it didn't happen for you.
I'm kind of tired of the Chiefs, to be honest with you, this year. Do something. You can't just...
Well, they've lost one game.
I know, but do something. Look impressive. Show me something. Show me that you're going to beat Buffalo in the playoffs. Show me how that's going to happen.
I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. The Chiefs have the Chargers coming up Sunday at Arrowhead. Sunday night game. Everybody will watch it. Chargers have been on a roll. Jim Harbaugh has the golden touch. What do you mean, except last week?
They lost to Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's good, except when they play Buffalo.
Or Philadelphia, or anybody else.
That's a disappointing
Pittsburgh.
Team. You want to talk about being disappointed in the Chiefs, that's nonsense.
I didn't say I'm disappointed.
You want to talk about being
disappointed I'm tired of them.
In Baltimore, well, that's disappointment.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. If I was disappointed, I'd say that. I'm tired of the Chiefs.
Well, good. Don't watch them.
Win a game legitimately one time.
Don't watch them. They're walking a high wire. That's fun
to
watch.
I didn't watch most of that game. I watched some of it, but I watched the Shockers most of the day.
Why'd you watch the Shockers?
Whatever day that was. I was interested in how they do against a nationally
prominent
team.
We'll get into that a little bit later. That's a setback for Shocker basketball.
Sure seems like it.
Just when the fans started to get a little, hey, let's look at this. Well, we looked at it, and a 27-0 run. Has there ever been a team go on a 27-0 run against Wichita State?
It seems like fairly improbable, but they did have some terrible years.
they had some terrible years, but I am curious. Maybe that's been out there. I don't know. Paul Sohlentrop should have back in the day.
That's not the thing Paul Sohlentrop's going to broadcast. Paul Sohlentrop works for the university.
Well, Taylor Eldridge, has he looked into that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Has there ever been a more dominant run against the Shockers?
Hard to say. Unless it's been said, then.
And Florida's good, no question about it. They're a legitimate, what are they ranked this week, 12, 14,
they're
something
up there.
Like that. That's a really good team, but it's also a really good test to kind of see where you are. And you
right.
don't throw in the towel. Wichita State's still only got one loss. They've got winnable games coming up. They have some interesting games coming up, too. They go to DePaul, and DePaul's unbeaten. They haven't beaten anybody.
Correct.
But they're unbeaten. And they had the similar schedule last year. They didn't beat any of these people.
They didn't?
No.
These terrible teams that...
DePaul was awful last year.
Yeah, but these teams are hideous. They're
they
beyond
awful. They won three games last year.
That's sad.
So don't tell me that, you know, don't question.
And you can still hold Wichita State to a standard that doesn't necessarily have to include them winning games in the NCAA tournament or even getting there. When they were on the rise during the Turgeon years and the Marshall years and were going to NITs, they were giving these teams, these Power 5 teams, tough games.
Well, sure. DePaul has Texas Tech, Providence, which is off to a halting start. Texas Tech has been good. They play in Lubbock on Wednesday night. We'll get a real indication then of where DePaul is. Wichita State goes to Chicago to face DePaul on Saturday the 14th.
And what is the real letdown is that Wichita State follows that game against Florida with a game this week against Alcorn State that will tell nothing, and you don't learn anything. And I hate those type of games. They're not even worth watching. The only thing you can learn is if Wichita State plays badly.
They have East Tennessee State after that, which is a little upgrade. East Tennessee State 6-2. They've beaten Charlotte by 20.
Charlotte's bad.
Charlotte's bad this year.
The league is bad.
You don't know that the league is
yes,
bad.
Yes, I do.
Stop making all these blankets.
They're bad. It's a bad
you
league.
You haven't watched the league.
I see scores and these teams. I mean, how do you go? Come on, man.
Stop it.
Let's look at it realistically.
Stop it.
It's a terrible
that.
League.
Stop it with that.
I'm not going to stop it. It's a one-bid league. Is that what you want?
I don't know that it's a one-bid
I'm
league.
I'm telling
it's
you
way
that
too
it's
early.
A...
You're, but I don't care what you're telling me.
You should.
You understand that?
Yeah, but you're just like this guy that's going to wade in a little bit. I'll see if it's a good league. I'll see if Rice gets better, and they won't, and they stink, and it's a bad league. Can we just call it like it is?
Why are you so angry today?
I'm not angry,
man,
but
you are
grief.
Coming across as a jerk.
No, I'm not.
East Carolina is currently in the league right now. UAB, the preseason pick, is 4-5. They're off to a terrible start. Florida Atlantic, the team we're used to being pretty good, is also 4-5. Charlotte, which made a good run last year, 3-3. South Florida, which looked like they were on the come line, they were
well. Their coach passed
second.
Away, and that's
right.
awful.
They're struggling at 4-3. North Texas is good. They're 6-2. They played a decent schedule. They beat the same Minnesota team that the Shockers beat. They beat the same Northern Iowa team that the Shockers beat, but they beat them by 20. And they lost to a really good Utah State team by 4. Memphis is obviously good. Rice has a good record. I don't give much credence to Rice, but we'll see. Memphis could be an at-large.
Yeah, if somebody else wins it besides Memphis, it's a two-bid league. If not, it's a one-bid league.
And well, I think right now you'd look at Memphis and North Texas as being legitimate potential teams.
I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
If they're a legitimate potential team and that's your second-best team.
And I don't think you count out the Shockers at this point. Yes, terribly lackluster lackluster performance against Florida. North now Texas we'll see what they do to rebound.
North Texas is 66 in KenPom. Memphis is only 31, and Wichita State is 88.
Right. Give us some time, man.
Yeah, I will.
It's not a great league, but it's not.
It's an unfortunately disappointing league. It's not what we signed up for.
Well, that was UConn. We've been through that a million times.
Then let's get out of it.
You think you're making news?
Let's get out of it.
Get out of it.
It's not even close.
And go to the Atlantic 10.
The Atlantic 10, absolutely.
Give me the Atlantic. What's the highest rate? Look this up during the break.
Okay.
Give me some really, you know, St. Louis is supposed to be a good team in the Atlantic 10. Shockers beat them like a drum.
Dayton, 26.
Based on going to Maui.
VCU, 44. So they've got two. Loyola, 75.
Okay.
George Mason, 84. Rhode Island, 85. St. Joseph's, 87. St. Bonaventure, 89. So they have basically 6-7 teams above Wichita State. And I'd want to go to that conference.
Pretty comparable.
Comparable.
We'll take a break, come back, talk with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. K-State finishes its regular season with a loss on the road at Iowa State. Iowa State now will face Arizona State. Arizona State, what a year for them in the Big 12 championship game coming up this weekend. Back in a minute.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We go to the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast, only at IHOP. Here's Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. We always enjoy our conversations with Fitz. I don't know how enjoyable this period of time is for K-State fans. You have a better feel than I do. I did put out on my Twitter the other night to say what one word describes the K-State football season, and they were all kind of disappointing and negative terms. What about K-State Nation? You think that's the way pretty much everyone feels?
Yeah. I mean, I think the way the season ended, that 8-4 record is one thing, because I think that was a little bit under expectations this season, and you're always measured against those. But it was a 1-3 finish. I mean, to lose three of your last four, blow a chance to play for the Big 12 championship. You know, so it wasn't just a matter of you win 8-4. You had everything you wanted in play at the 2/3 mark of your season, and it all slipped away. So I think there is disappointment. And I know Chris Klieman was a little bit defensive in his post-game press conference. You know, talking about how 8 wins, people shouldn't look badly upon that. But he's got to be disappointed, too. I mean, they were in a good position, and things just kind of came apart.
What do you think happened from I don't want to call it necessarily an effort. You don't really ever want to question guys' effort, but it just seemed like there was something emotionally missing over the last month where you couldn't really see what this team really did to be 7-1. It just seemed to really fall off, obviously from a physical standpoint, but was there something missing emotionally from this team?
Yeah, I don't think they ever really played with a whole lot of fire. I think they played with effort at times. I thought they were really good at Colorado. I thought they were fairly focused with Cincinnati. I thought they played hard at Iowa State. They didn't play well, but they played hard. They made too many mistakes, and I just don't think this team had enough, and I mean this in a good sense, instigators in that locker room, guys that were going to push their teammates and get them to, you know, really get fired up and motivated for games. I think they had a sense of going about business, and they got too casual at times. They were certainly too casual at Houston. And then they made some mistakes based on, you know, whether it was a bad play call or bad execution by the players. It still was a game-changing mistake, just as the very first play from scrimmage at Iowa State was.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com is his publication. You can subscribe to that. Go to GoPowerCat.com. If you're a K-State fan who hasn't already subscribed, and I can't imagine there are that many. So where are we as we head into a bowl game? This is going to be a strange time, maybe even stranger than normal because of the transfer portal, because of the draft, because of players, player movement and coach movement. We've already seen a little bit of it. Talk about it nationally first, and then how do you think it could affect K-State?
Well, there's another layer here. I mean, we have the house settlement coming up next year, in which, you know, all student athletes will have a revenue sharing program in place at their schools. And the general thought around college athletics is that's going to affect NIL. And, you know, those NIL numbers might drop a little bit. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I think some programs are going to invest heavily in NIL to get guys to their campuses when the new rules go into place. And I think we're going to see a lot of movement this offseason. If it's, you know, whether it's players moving up or players losing their roster spots, which is the next step, we're going to see a lot of players put into the portal, basically, by their programs that they're playing for. So if it's players coming back down the ladder, I think we're going to see an awful lot of movement. And these are really uncertain times in college athletics. And I think all of us old men harken back to better days. I'm certainly not against the NIL. I'm not against the transfer portal. I just think the NCAA has done a horrific job of setting up guide rails and trying to guide programs through this since created a Wild West.
Yeah, everybody talks about the NIL and the transfer portal. I can probably wrap my head around those things a lot easier. The thing I hate about big-time college sports is recruiting. And it looks like Lincoln Cure might go to Oregon now, and I just don't, yep. I just don't get it. I don't like this. I don't. You commit to a school, and then a day, 2 days before signing day, you're talking about, well, I love Oregon, and really had a great time at Oregon. It's like, what is the point? And we don't know what he's going to do. Wednesday says, well, both outcomes are possible. It's like, who are you? You're a great player, everything. You're a five-star guy. But do we need to beg you to come to Kansas State? Does Oregon need to beg you to come? It's like, I don't know. It seems like these kids just take themselves so seriously. Just make a decision.
Yeah, recruiting is just a big fanfare. You know, they treat you like you're $1 million. They say whatever they need to say to get you to sway their opinion. They make you offers. You know, they do stuff they probably shouldn't do. And I know that's certainly happened with, you know, in the transfer portal, coaches calling players that are on rosters because there's no threat of really getting in trouble. And at the end of the day, when you show up, you're the freshman plebe. And, you know, maybe some kids get the big treatment, but for the most part, they just sold you. I mean, that's all they were doing is selling you. They don't care if you are unhappy when you get there. You're stuck. So at least for the year. So, yeah. You know, my biggest problem with Lincoln Cure isn't that he's going to switch. It really isn't. Look, kids make bad decisions. And as I said on today's Daily Delivery video, I'm not here to say that going to Oregon's a bad decision. Maybe committing to K-State early was the bad decision. What I'm upset about is when kids commit and a program reserves a spot specifically for them, and then on signing day flips, because now they've not only backed out on their commitment, they blocked that program from getting another player that they might have wanted who just signed a letter of intent with someone else. And so it nails them twice. And I'm hoping if Lincoln plans on switching, he doesn't do it on Wednesday and make a big fanfare out of it, because I know K-State's got some other tight ends they would like to sign, if not Lincoln, and they'll probably be precluded from doing so because they would have signed with other programs.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest, aren't we headed toward it just seems like to me the only way we can administer this kind of a system is to go more toward a pro sports model. Contracts and wording and lawyers and all the stuff that happens in professional sports seems like it's going to happen in college sports to get some kind of handle on this. Is that the ultimate? Is that the ultimate landing spot?
I fear we're headed into a whole different world that won't be college sports at all. I mean, they'll be college age athletes. I think, and I don't know if this happens in 2 years or 20 years or what the time frame is, I think we're going to end up with semi-pro football, and your school name will be licensed to a business that will run that football program for you. And that's ugly. That's not college sports at all. And I think if that happens, there's going to be a real break-off between the schools that want to do it that way and people who still want to play college sports. And I know everyone at every school wants to play at the highest level possible, but I would offer that basically being a semi-pro sports franchise isn't what you want to be as a college, as a university, and trying to stay maybe at a middle tier, you know, somewhere between whatever they're going to create and the FCS, a more of a college football tier that makes sense for places like most of the Big 12 schools, and that just don't have that kind of budget to go spend millions of dollars on players, which is absurd. What, there's talk of Michigan paying $14 million for a quarterback. We've reached a level of absurdity. There, people are spending it because they can, and if you've got a filthy rich donor that has no end to their resources, this is the nonsense that's going to go on. And this isn't good for anyone, including the kid that's going to get $14 million. I worry about them because it's not like they have a professional agent and planning, financial planners and all that. A lot of it just gets dumped in their lap, and along with responsibilities and tax and all that, there's so many horrible layers to this. This is not what anyone signed up in, you know, coaching college sports or even covering college sports, but here we are.
Yeah, so we've talked on this show about K-State basketball being a little bit under the radar. They've not played fantastic. They've not really played poorly, I guess, in their non-conference. Are the next three games against St. John's, Drake, and Wichita State, is that enough to get them some eyes, or will it have to happen if and when they make some waves in the Big 12?
It's funny, when you see the schedule at the start of the season, you don't think that with these three games necessarily. All those programs struggled a little bit last year, and they're not this year as much. And, I mean, yeah, I think Drake's really good. I'll be honest, I haven't followed the Shockers much because I've been deep into football so far, but they're all better than expected, and I think we'll provide Kansas State with some good tests that they need. I talked to the players yesterday after that game, so-called game, against Arkansas Pine Bluff. They believe that even though they didn't win that second game, that they did a lot of bonding and grew together in the islands. And they were playing a really awful team Sunday, but, boy, they looked a lot better just shooting the ball and working with each other. But then again, they were almost playing against air because Arkansas Little Rock, if you put the three of us and two other fat old guys, Jeff, you get to be the young guy, you put us on a court, we would defend better than they did. It was awful. They were a horrible team.
You upgraded them from Pine Bluff to Little Rock, though, so they must have impressed you.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Pine Bluff, yes. it's all one state to me. It's just a
same.
You gotta stop adding all these schools. I mean, it got really confusing yesterday because Pine Bluff played the men and Central Arkansas played the women, and I'm like, how many damn D1 schools does this state have? It's not that big. So it's very confusing.
All right, my last question. We got to ask you about Avery Johnson. I don't know what letter grade I'd give him for his season. I'm pretty much hovering around a C for pretty much everything except J.R. Giddens.
D.J.
D.J. Giddens. J. Gosh, why do I keep doing that?
You do that a lot.
I do that. Yeah. We couldn't sound older. But anyway, where are we with Avery? What does he need to do in these months ahead to improve and get better and come back and lead K-State to a higher purpose next season?
You know what's remarkable about Avery's season? If you just ask most of us observing, we say he underachieved. He wasn't nearly what we expected. And that might be an indictment of our expectations more than Avery. Because there's been some people, a guy on my staff, and I've seen a couple people on Twitter, put together comparisons of like quarterbacks, were through the history of K-State or around FBS football this season. Avery's stats are basically the best among the sophomore quarterbacks. You know, you some nuance to that. But really the problem was the ill-timed turnovers soured everything. At the end of a game at Houston, at the start of the game at Iowa State, fairly early in the game at BYU, he had such impactful turnovers. There weren't very many mistakes that turned into no big deal. And I think that's what clouds us a little bit. I think he's a much better football player, though, than he showed. Part of that was offensive scheme. Part of that is a reluctance to run the ball because I think some forces around him want him to prove to the NFL he can be a pocket passer. And look, I mean, Lamar Jackson isn't known as a pocket passer. He can do it and do it effectively, but that's not why you draft him. You draft him because he's a freak of an athlete who can do multiple things. And that's the lane Avery needs to be in. But the reality of it is Avery isn't as big as Lamar Jackson. And he took some hits this year, including, you know, at the end of the game in Iowa State. It should have been a personal foul penalty, in my opinion, according to the rule book, but it wasn't. And there's some worry about him being a little bit too fragile for this level.
All right, I'm going to cheat. We got another guest coming up, but DJ Giddens, I want to ask you quickly about him. Is he just banged up? Is that why he sat out in the fourth quarter the other day? And what might that do to his ability or desire to play in a bowl game?
Yeah, I don't know. They took his helmet from him, so that tells me he took something to the noggin. And I think he was beaten up this year, and I think he's a whale of a running back, but K-State had to lean on him to carry him at times, and his body paid the price. If you're DJ, you might look at the NFL and say, I got to make my money soon because my body can't take this. But I also honestly don't think he's quite ready for that level emotionally or football sense. So we'll see how that plays out. But I really do wish him the best. He's such a terrific kid. He's just a wonderful young man.
Fitz, we really appreciate you and hope you had a good Thanksgiving and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, gentlemen, whatever your names are. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Jamel Holoperic joins us from Visit Wichita. We're going to get into some events and things going on in our community. Let's get into some of the things going on in our community. And I think Illuminations at Botanica would certainly be at near or at the top of everyone's list. It's a great event, very, very popular. Botanica is such a great place to visit. Tell us about that one.
Absolutely. I mean, it is beautiful. 2 million lights in one location. It's open until January 4th. If you go out there, these lights are choreographed to music. There's Candy Cane Lane. There's Santa's Village. And this is ranked one of the top places for Christmas lights in the country. So we are very fortunate to have that place. But then I've got to tell you, I went out to a country Christmas over the holiday weekend, and this is over at Fulton Valley Farms. Have you been out there?
I wouldn't know how to get to Fulton Valley Farms. That's why you're on the show to tell us how.
You know what? It's a little bit of a drive. I'm going to be honest with you, but it's over by Tawanda, and there are directions on our website, but it's really neat. It's Fulton Valley Farms. They have, hundreds and thousands of lights. It's open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. They have homemade fudge. They have a live nativity scene, live reindeer out there. You get to see live reindeer. Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus are out there. But it is truly gorgeous. You get to walk through the farm and through all these lights. It's a great place for pictures as well.
Well, I'm looking at some of the details about this place, and you can have pancakes with Santa on Saturday mornings throughout September, and then on the morning of Christmas Eve.
December.
That's got to be pretty cool.
I know, right? And there was live music out there the other day. This guy was singing Silent Night, and he had a great voice. And, I mean, it's just a beautiful vibe. It's something different, and it's fun to take the whole family.
There you go. Yeah, I was curious about you, Jamel, because you talked about Illuminations being open until January 4th. And, you know, there's no time of year that we shouldn't be feeling festive and wanting to be around people and being happy. But how long does the Christmas spirit last for you? Do you go into January? And, you know, how does the Wichita's penchant for holiday exhibits. How does that speak to you?
You know what? I got to tell you something. We do a lot for the holidays. So, like, even though this was just Thanksgiving, we went to Fulton Valley Farms. We did the igloo at Chicken and Pickle. We, you know, we liked all of that stuff. So I have to be honest. I love all of Wichita's holiday spirit and festivities we have. But by January 2nd, I am done. And yes. I'm fat and I'm tired. So it's like I'm kind of out of the Christmas spirit. I'm not trying to be the Scrooge, but I'm being a little honest.
That makes sense.
So when did you get your decorations put up? My wife, we did it kind of early this year. My wife, actually, she didn't do it early. She waited until the day after Thanksgiving, and then she's decorated our house. But we got our lights up a little bit before Thanksgiving. Outside.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's perfect timing, don't you? Because you don't want to just get them up and have to take them right back down. So now you get to enjoy them. But again, after about January 2nd, I'm ready for them to go. Are you guys, what's your spirit when it comes
to
that Christmas?
Yeah, I am for sure. Yeah, don't talk to my wife about it. I'm ready for them to go December 27th.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's terrible. What about the holiday stroll in Bradley Fair, Jamel? Tell us about that.
Hey, this is so fun, too. And, you know, people are in the shopping spirit right now, so there's a great place to shop out there at Bradley Fair, all those fabulous stores. But on Sundays, you go out there, and this will last through the end of the month, and you can take a ride on the Bradley Fair Express. You can have free hot cocoa. You can get photos with Santa. And there's a sleigh out there. So I know a lot of people still want to get their family Christmas pictures. This is a great place to do it. You can shoot it with your phone or have one some shoot it out there, and you'll have Santa and the sleigh. But a lot of great shopping going on. There will be specials in each store. It just makes it fun for everyone.
Do you do a lot of Christmas shopping? Are you a receiving over giving type of person?
You know, I am not a big shopper, but I do love to shop around the holidays. So I like to just go out, and I like those unique items. I hate just buying sweatshirts and T-shirts and ties. I like to find those items, and I love them when they have initials on them or maybe a picture of a family member, those kind of unique items.
Talking with Jamel Holoparik from Visit Wichita. She is our Director of Public Relations. Longtime news person at Cake TV here in town. So I want to jump ahead because this is coming down the pike. We get the first and second round of the NCAA tournament this year at Intrust Bank Arena. That requires tons and tons and tons of planning and preparation. How deep are we into that process already?
You know what? Great question. We are already meeting with Intrust Bank Arena, the city, because, you know, we got to close off streets. There's going to be so much fun. I mean, parties and celebrations all over. NASCAR Park is going to be a great location this year to get down there, and then it's just walking distance. But, I mean, it is going to be so much fun. But we're already talking about, you know, where's the media going to set up? Where are some of these places going to be? What streets need to be closed off? What about parking? What about the buses for the teams? You know, it's a lot, but it's so exciting to get it here in Wichita.
I don't know if you're privy to any information that Intrust Bank Arena has, but are there any concerns about Justin Timberlake and his concert? I think it's next week, right? He canceled his concert in Oklahoma City. Are we worried about repercussions in Wichita?
You know what? I haven't heard from Intrust Bank Arena, but just around here, we just had a fellow employee come in, and he just bought his tickets for his pregnant wife. So he's going to be mad as a hornet. Oof. If it does cancel. He's going to be in trouble. Yes. But I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
Well, we hope the show goes on. Jamel, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for giving us some updates about some fun winter events going on in Wichita around the holidays. And we'll talk to you in January.
Sounds great. You guys have an awesome day, and people can just go to visitwichita.com to find out all the information. We'll see ya.
All right.
Thanks.
There you go. Jamel Holoparik from Visit Wichita. We'll take a break, come back with an hour left to go. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk college basketball. We'll talk college football. I want to know Jeff's opinion on flag planting. I never thought it would become the controversy it has. But we'll give our thoughts on that as well. We'll be back. The Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What? The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
It's an excursion into the odd and into the very, very different.
Starring Bob Lutz.
Yeah, you heard me. Just make sure that the record button's working, because all of this is going to make me look good.
Jeff Lutz.
That's a very generalized statement. I'm asking you to be more specific. Trust me on this. You're not believing me, and I know this stuff.
In real life, such ridiculous nonsense.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show on a Monday. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you. Jason Duda will be in later in the week.
We'll
have a couple three-man booths coming up. Tomorrow on the show, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will be in to talk about the irritating Chiefs who have gotten under your skin for whatever reason.
I didn't say irritating. I said I'm tired of them.
Yeah, that's irritating. You're irritating.
Why can't I just use the words that I want to use?
Because I condense them into words that people relate to and understand.
I think they understood being tired of something.
Anyway, we got all that coming up. Flag planting. We've had brawls break out. We've had the idiots from Ohio State get offended when Michigan planted a flag on their turf.
You know what? They're supposed to just let that happen.
What was the other game? Georgia? I don't remember. What was the other game?
I think that might have been it, but I don't know.
Texas? I don't know. What? First of all, who cares? Do we really need to, quote-unquote, plant a flag? Secondly, if you lost the game, get in the locker room. Don't worry about what goes on. Don't be dumb.
I mean,
territorial nonsense.
That's naive thinking. I think it's stupid too. But Ohio State's not just going to let Michigan put its flag in the middle of the field.
Ohio State did it. You know what? Michigan has had it happen to them twice this year. You know where they were? In their locker room.
Well, okay. This is Ohio State, Michigan. It's a little different. Michigan
win the game. You punks. You know what? I know they're probably still going to be in the college football playoff.
Not probably. They will.
Which is too bad. I hope they lose by a million.
For what?
I don't like them.
For what?
For this.
For defending
their pretender.
Or not. I mean,
they're a pretender.
Everybody's got two losses except Oregon.
Right. They're a pretender.
So who else is a pretender? Everyone?
No, just Ohio State.
Why is Georgia not a pretender?
They are, but mostly Ohio State.
Is Alabama?
No. It's mostly Ohio State. And I don't like them, and I'll never like them, and I don't care what you try to tell me. They're not likable. And Ryan Day's not likable, and their team's not likable.
Because of what? Explain just this.
Their little decals on their helmets.
Okay, everybody has.
Hey, you made a tackle. Here's a decal.
Does Michigan have those?
Give me a break.
Does Michigan have those?
Good grief.
You're not answering the question.
For crying out loud, if you like Ohio State, do you like Ohio
State? Does Michigan have decals?
Yeah, I don't care about them.
Why?
Do you like Ohio State?
You're not answering the question.
Michigan has a derby guy coaching them.
Do you like a crier?
Yeah. Do you like Ohio State?
Don't worry about what I like.
Tell me.
No.
Oh, you don't? Well, then we're in the same boat.
No, I'm saying I'm not going to tell you.
Ohio State's going to the college football playoff. They did beat Penn State, which is another pretender.
Who's not a pretender? Tell me that.
I can't tell you. It's been a pretentious year. They're basically going to get into the playoff. Thanks to they beat Indiana. But they lost to Michigan. Come on.
The defending national champion.
Who's not very good this year.
Well, you just said a lot of teams aren't very good this year. So I'm trying to extract from you who you think these just behemoth, amazing teams are that are going to populate the college football playoff, because they all kind of suck.
Well, Oregon's for real.
Probably.
No, I like Oregon. I mean, they're legit. They're a legitimate team.
Okay, there's one. Who else?
All right, you want to hear who else?
I do.
I'll tell you.
Looking forward to it.
Can you give me just a second? While I can't, ESPN's not working right.
Is the Big 12 champ going to be a legitimate Arizona State or Iowa State? You're going to feel good about them in the playoff? No.
Arizona State intrigues me. They're intriguing.
Ohio State would beat them by 30.
I don't think so. They intrigue the heck out of me. I'll just say that. Out of the SEC, it was interesting to see somebody point out Texas never won anything in the Big 12. And here they are now with the best record in the SEC. To me, that speaks to the strength of the SEC, which I don't think is nearly what it has been.
No, as I said.
But they live on reputation.
It's all perception. That's all this is.
They live on reputation. Georgia's okay. They're not great. Tennessee,
Tennessee really does something.
Missouri, are you kidding me?
Wouldn't you rather just have it to be four teams? Because all these teams bore.
No, this will be fun.
They bore the heck out of you.
I'm looking forward to this.
You looking forward to Boise State?
Yes. That's what I look forward to. Yes.
Fine. You're looking forward to Tennessee and Penn State in round two?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm looking forward to the playoff. I'm glad we have 12 teams. I think the SEC and the Big Ten, who are supposed to be the behemoths, right? We've changed college athletics to appease the SEC and the Big Ten. They're the only two that really matter, is what we hear, right?
Mm.
They get the bulk of the coverage. Boy, let's get their games on TV. They're going to watch them. Well, I hope they both come up with flat tires.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know what that means.
Whether you think it's going to happen or not.
But I don't even know what it means.
Doesn't mean a thing to me.
How do conferences have flat tires?
I hope they fall flat in the playoffs. That's
okay.
What I mean.
So you don't like Ohio State. You don't like the SEC.
I like Oregon.
They're in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're legit.
See, that's you. That's you.
The SEC is overrated.
See, that's you.
I think Texas is pretty good.
Here's the team I like, the undefeated team.
Would Texas have won the Big 12 this year?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Please.
Why didn't they ever win it before?
Because it was better.
Huh?
Mostly because Oklahoma was in it.
Really?
Yeah, mostly.
Really?
Yeah.
Go back and look at the Big 12 championship games of the past 10 years.
Well, look at the Big 12 representation in the college football playoff. It was mostly Oklahoma.
I'll tell you who I want to see. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued by SMU. You're not?
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you a fan?
No.
Of college football?
Not really.
You're really not, so why are you even discussing it? They swept through the ACC. Now, that's not a strong conference by any stretch of the imagination.
And by the way, Texas did win the Big 12 last year.
Yeah, they weren't any good. How'd they do in the playoff?
I don't know.
They got beat by a million.
But then before that, K-State, Baylor, Oklahoma, 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 TCU, Baylor, Baylor, Oklahoma. It's always Oklahoma. That's why Texas never won it.
Right. Well, Oklahoma's in their conference now.
Yeah, they weren't as good.
How'd that go? Anyway, what's my point?
I don't know.
My point is that the SEC and the Big Ten have not lived up to the hype.
Has the ACC then? Because Miami was pretty good, but Clemson was good.
Miami fell.
Syracuse was pretty good.
But at least there's something interesting about the ACC, right? Because you got SMU there the first year.
It's not interesting, and here's why.
By the way, the Shocker volleyball team plays SMU in the NCAA tournament coming up, I believe it's Thursday night, right? Is that right?
I don't know the date.
SMU is ranked 10th in the country in volleyball. Did you know that?
No, but I know that's, that they played SMU. Does that help?
That's interesting to me. But back to SMU football.
Here's why
Do you not remember the Pony Express?
Well, I wasn't alive, so no.
Well, nothing that happened before you were alive seems to matter to you.
Well, you asked me, do I remember it?
You
memory connects to being alive.
You know what I'm talking about. Let's get to the phones.
Who?
On the IHOP hotline. And Andy's going to weigh in here with something on par with what we're saying. What do you have, Andy?
I need to vent a little bit, gentlemen. And I have to preface most of what I'm about to say with, I'm a dinosaur, and I never wanted those guys to go from a 14 playoff, which I think was working. Maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was working. I never wanted them to move from a 14 playoff to where we are now, which is 12, because I think I knew immediately, and what many people probably already knew, but they were just so addicted to the potential money that could be involved with the 12-team playoff, is that we're going to have watered-down teams that nobody cares about. Jeff, I'm with you. I don't care about SMU.
Give me a watered-down team.
All of them?
Oh, my God. We've got enough SEC teams now that we're now debating if we're going to get a three-loss Alabama team in. I've seen enough of Alabama. They're not very good. They're definitely not playoff good for what I would consider a meaningful playoff. I mean, go back to Notre Dame. Earlier in the season, when they lost to Northern Illinois, that should have been either completely ends their season or gets us to the point where we're at right now in the calendar year where we're having a serious debate between, is Notre Dame going to get in as the fourth team in a 14 playoff, or is Penn State going to get in there in their place? Now we know they're all getting in, and neither Notre Dame or Penn State is a great team. So, I mean, it's just...
There are no great teams.
Right, so why do we have to delve through all this?
Because it's going to be fun.
To watch teams?
Here's
you know what? You and Andy can get together.
And not watch games?
Andy, I got an idea. On the first night of the playoffs, you and Jeff can get together and pet his cats. How's that?
You want to do that, Andy?
Hey, let's do that. And I'm gonna. If you haven't watched Fargo yet, I'm gonna introduce you to Fargo.
There you go.
Yeah, anything.
It'd be a much better investment of our time than watching what's going to be Boise State versus a three-loss SEC team in the playoff. And let me.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Let me throw in this point too. NIL has also significantly changed why some of these SEC teams. Why basically the SEC is now watered down. Saban can no longer buy his conference championship being the only person in the conference that's buying players previous to the NIL structure that we have now. Now that we've got NIL, we're starting to see some of those teams even out a little bit, which I think is further watering down what's ultimately going to be this 12-team playoff. And one final thing I'll leave you with to your guest point that was talking about college sports are no longer resembling college sports or in the future may not do so. Washington Huskies football team traveled 18,000 miles this season to play in their Big 10 schedule. And they lost all of those games that were of a significant distance traveled. That's not what college sports is supposed to be.
It's all ridiculous,
it's terrible.
At least give me my 12-team playoff. I've been, bartering for it for years. At least let me have
bartering.
One.
What'd you trade?
Yeah, I traded my soul for it.
Yeah, clearly.
You good with that, Andy?
You sell your soul to whoever you want, Bob. I won't judge too much.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And he makes some good points, but I'm not sitting around.
He makes
around,
the only points there are to
I'm
make.
I'm not sitting around petting a cat on the college football playoff. I'm going to watch it.
I will.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it.
So you're going to tune in to Ohio State, Tennessee.
Sure.
Two teams.
We only have a few years of college sports left before it turns into something even more unrecognizable than it is today.
There'll always be games.
Sure, there will. But I won't
19
watch
to 22 year old.
I don't watch. I won't watch the Freddy's Penn State Nittany Lions take on the Exxon USC Trojans.
Why?
I don't do that.
Well, if
I don't Freddy's get into that.
If Freddy's is sponsoring a team, that's going to be my team.
Well, Freddy's has a ways to go before it gets to that level. Freddy's is not Exxon.
They're a national chain.
You understand that. You know what Exxon is.
No.
You don't know what Exxon is.
You're so
Tell
dumb.
Me what it is.
No, I'm not going to.
You don't know.
I'm not going to.
Unbelievable.
I don't believe in that stuff.
Tell me what Exxon manufactures.
Stuff.
You don't know.
No, no, I guess
Ladies
not.
And gentlemen, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
You're so easy, man. You're so
no,
easy.
No, you're trying to play it off.
Oh, yeah, I'm playing it off. Like, I don't know.
Well, if you didn't, you'd just say it.
No, I wouldn't. I don't owe you anything.
What's Exxon? What kind of company?
It's like, you know, one of those companies that manufactures things.
My God. Sad.
You're so easy.
I hope your wife isn't listening.
I hope she is, and because she knows that I'm stringing you along like a
I
puppet.
I hope David Michael Hahn isn't listening.
He's saying Bob's a puppet.
Because he apparently thinks you've got a brain. My goodness.
And I'm the puppet master.
That's embarrassing. I can't tell if you know or not. My guess is that you don't. My guess is that you don't.
That's a guess. That's quite a guess.
So anyway, I'm okay with a 12-team playoff for a year. I want to see how it goes. I'm not.
Here's how it's going to go.
I'm not that enthralled by any of these teams. I don't think there is a really top-notch football team in the country. But that almost makes it more intriguing.
I don't understand what you expect to get out of this trial run that will give you any information.
It's okay that the SEC isn't dominant. But we got to catch on to that as television people and media people.
Yeah,
those
but
days are over.
It doesn't matter who's dominant. It matters what people watch. And everyone in the South watches college football.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They got cats down there. They sit with their cats just like you
no,
do.
No, they're
here.
Not cerebral people like I am.
You are the least cerebral person I've ever known.
I don't think that's true.
You don't know Exxon.
What is Exxon?
You put out something on Facebook. Nobody knows what the what
exactly
you're
too
about.
Cerebral for people.
And it was an embarrassing.
I can't believe
venture.
People.
What caused you to put that out there anyway?
I was thinking about it.
We're talking about a post in which.
Yeah, go read it.
Jeff and asked people how much childhood would they want if they could go back and relive their lives.
Yeah, because childhood.
Now, what would be your answer?
Childhood is 18 years, right? The rest of your life is 70
what
years.
What would be your answer?
I'd spend about. That's tough. I'd probably go through it in about 10 years.
Of childhood?
Childhood, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy your childhood?
I don't know what I enjoyed.
Do you enjoy your adulthood?
I don't know.
Are you a miserable person?
I try not to be.
But do you feel that way?
Occasionally, but not always.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't take the time to enjoy life and what you've been enriched to have and a wonderful family, a great house, a good job.
I'm not.
Friends.
I don't take any of that. Lightly or for granted.
But that's not the overpowering influence on your life.
What does that mean?
That's not the thing that drives you. That's not the thing that identifies you. Your misery identifies you.
I didn't say that. Why
that's,
are you, why are you putting these
sounding like?
Why are you putting these dumb words in my mouth?
Does the misery.
Did you read the piece by Big E on Players Tribune?
What?
Did you read the piece by Big
E? No, heavens no.
Well, you should.
Why?
Because it's good.
Well, I'll get around to it, I guess. I don't go on Players Tribune.
I don't usually either, but I found the article.
Well, good. Was he lamenting his life like you are?
He wasn't lamenting, but he's been through a lot.
Well, we all have.
Yeah, sure. Everybody has a story. I'm just, you know, I was
Everybody's
touched.
Been through a lot.
Yeah, of course.
You could all write on Players Tribune.
Nah, not you.
Of course I could.
I don't think your Players Tribune piece would be that inspiring.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Nah. It'd be okay, but nothing earth-shattering. Are you looking forward to the new day tonight, getting together?
Not really.
Really? That's all I'm thinking about.
Didn't even know they were.
What do you mean? It's their 10-year anniversary.
I don't know things like that.
Don't you watch Raw?
Not very much.
Really?
It's, what is it, 2 hours now?
Yeah.
I probably flipped through it in 20 minutes.
You don't even watch it live?
No.
My goodness. I can't believe you missed the Kofi Xavier Woods interaction last week. That's what everybody was talking about.
I mean, I like professional wrestling. I like our get-togethers over here, and I watch some of it, but I don't know.
Don't you like Kofi?
I don't have time to sit and watch wrestling.
But don't you like Kofi?
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and continue the discussion. You can give us a call on the hotline at 869-1240. It's the IHOP hotline. We look forward to hearing from you. Back in a minute.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, we talked about the Chiefs. We talked about the Jayhawks. KU with a chance to become bowl eligible lays an egg down at Baylor. Although Baylor, they really figured it out.
Bizarre
to finish 8-4 after a 2-4 start. Pretty good for the Bears.
Yeah, that's how you. It's weird. You arrive at an 8-4 season if you're Baylor. You feel great about it. You arrive at an 8-4 season. If you're K-State, you feel terrible about it.
You know why?
Yeah, I know
why. Not that hard to figure out. I'm going to tell you why. 2-4 start for Baylor. 7-1 start for K-State.
Right, I understand, but you end up in the same place.
Yeah, you end up in the same place, but not really.
Okay, but if I fly to Jackson, Mississippi, and you drive there, I got there faster and my experience was better. I'm still in Jackson. I'm still 8-4, you know. It's not like I did anything great.
No, I'm much happier if I'm
No, I'm 8-4.
That's a terrible analogy.
Sure, it's not.
First of all, I'm equally happy either way with getting to Jackson. Don't care. Flying or driving.
But I got there faster.
Don't care about
the luxuries were better.
I'd rather end the season on a 6-game winning streak than losing 3 out of 4.
Okay.
There's no comparison.
Doesn't matter. You're 8-4. Big deal. Nothing happened.
And I'm much happier if I won my last 6 games.
Mm.
I'm going into a bowl game. I feel good.
Well,
We put a damper on KU, which came into our building thinking, boy, we're hot. We're going to. And they were never a factor.
Again, I end up at the Gasparilla Bowl the same way.
Baylor just took it to them with long touchdown passes. They threw over the top of KU all day long. Just took it to them.
In fact, I think I'd be more mad if I won my last 6 to get to 8-4.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd be like, why did we suck at the beginning? Who did?
We're figuring it out.
Meh.
That's why. Kudos to Baylor.
Fire everybody.
You know, I'm tired of your attitude. I'm going to seriously get into some discussions on what we can do in this show.
What do you mean?
I need a more positive guy.
8-4 is 8-4.
I need a more positive person.
Well, Andy just came through and...
Yeah, but at least he's positive.
Was he positive?
Sure he is. He's a fun guy. I can tell.
I'm fun.
I'm not sensing it.
Why?
You're angry about too many things.
I'm not angry, but 8-4 is 8-4.
You come across as bitter.
About what?
I don't think I'm making this up. Listeners, what do you think?
They love me.
869-1240. Have you noticed Jeff take a turn toward the darker edge in the past 3 to 4 months?
Three to four months? That's crazy. Maybe 3 to 4 minutes.
3 to 4 months.
No.
Perception is reality.
It's only your perception, and you're making it up, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I think most people would agree with me.
No, they wouldn't. What are you going to do, put it on Twitter?
No, I'm not putting it on Twitter.
You're going to put me on blast on Twitter?
Somebody's going to call and say, I agree with you, Bob.
Maybe they text you anonymously like usually happens.
I get all kinds of texts.
Read a couple.
I don't have any about this topic.
I do.
All right, let's see what they say.
Jeff, you sound as chipper as ever.
Who said that?
Who did say that? It's an anonymous number.
Yeah. You want to argue about everything.
Well, there's stuff that is worth arguing. 8-4 is 8-4.
It matters how you get there.
Not necessarily.
Of course it does.
I don't think so.
83-79 Cardinals this year. Winning record. Improved by 12 games. Not good enough. Left a sour taste.
Sure.
Doesn't doesn't do anything. In fact, doesn't do anything for him.
Right.
Your team won what? 85?
85.
What'd you win?
92, I believe.
Miracle. And you get to the playoffs. You feel any better about your team than I do mine?
Exactly.
But you should. You got to the American League Championship Series.
Right. I won more games, though.
If that doesn't please you.
But I won more games. That's the difference. I got somewhere. I accomplished something.
But if that doesn't But if that doesn't please you, then you shouldn't be a fan. Now, that's about as good as Cleveland's ever going to do for you.
Well, that's not true.
They got to a couple World Series.
Three.
Yeah, only one recently. Only one in this century.
Fine.
I'll put it that way.
What's your point?
Is that enough for you?
I don't know.
We're almost a quarter of the way through the century.
I don't know what point you're making.
One World Series?
I don't know how to respond to this.
Just go with me. I'm making perfect sense.
They make the playoffs a bunch. It's hard to get to the World Series.
The Cardinals made it in 04, 06, 11, and 13.
Congrats.
That's four. I'm not satisfied with four.
I don't care what you're satisfied with. I still don't know what point you're making.
It's very obvious. Are you satisfied with one World Series?
Is this a different conversation than what we were having?
Tied into the other.
How? Explain
how. I'll explain it later. Are you happy with one World Series this century?
I don't even know what that has to do with anything.
I'm asking you a straightforward question.
That's a loaded question.
I just want to know.
That's not straightforward. That's loaded.
Are you happy?
And I don't answer loaded questions.
Are you happy?
I don't answer
with the Guardians. There, that's completely open ended.
No, and that lacks context. That's very loaded, and I don't like being backed into a corner.
Because
how about you ask me if I like that Matthew Boyd signed with the Cubs? Ask me that.
When I can back you into a corner, which is easy to do, I win.
But you didn't.
Matthew Boyd to the Cubs. 2 years, 34-year-old pitcher, had a good run with Cleveland. Especially in the postseason, 12 innings, allowed one run. What do you think?
I'm not that happy about it.
You wanted him back. Why can't you get him back?
Well, we have a front office and an ownership group that doesn't like risks.
I think 2 years, what'd they pay? 2 years,
29.
29 million? Are you sure it was that much?
Yes.
That doesn't seem exorbitant for Matthew Boyd.
It's not crazy. It's what the middle tier of the pitching market will probably get. Pretty much generally that.
Well, if you're not willing to give that as a Cleveland Guardian people, what are you willing to do?
I don't know. Nothing. That's why I don't check these things. And I don't.
Well, you brought it up.
I don't try to get too worked up about it.
Well, you brought it up and you are worked up.
Am I? I just told you to ask me.
Yes, you're worked up.
I am?
That's why you wanted me to ask you.
No, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to work through it.
That's being worked up.
Am I happy or am I upset that he's gone? I don't know. Should I be?
Well,
like you said.
Who are your starters right now?
The rotation?
Yeah.
If we started the season today.
Which we don't, obviously.
It would be Bibee, Williams, Cantillo, Lively, McKenzie, probably.
What's that do for you?
It's not horrible.
It's not Royals.
It's not good, but it's not the worst.
You better make some moves.
Yeah, they need to.
Detroit's coming and Kansas City's coming. And
I still.
And Minnesota.
No one in the Detroit market listen to this, but I'm still not sure about Detroit. I hope that doesn't get back to Detroit.
Yeah, now you're worried about it getting to Detroit, though.
I love
Detroit.
In the
past, you wouldn't have cared.
I love Detroit.
Well,
I don't
now
know
what, he loves Detroit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now he loves Detroit.
Everyone involved in that organization is a friend of mine.
Well, now he's a big-time Detroit guy.
Sure.
I'm just telling you, they're coming.
We'll see.
They've got a good young team. And an owner who I believe will make some things happen this offseason.
Yeah, Mr. Ilitch, who I respect, and his various holdings throughout the Detroit area. I respect him immensely.
Whatever. You're not getting that, and you know that.
I don't know what I'm getting.
Yeah, I got you. It's not happening. But
be nice. Why you got to be like that?
Because I'm a realist.
You don't know what's happening.
I got it. I'm a realist.
Just be nice.
There's nobody more realist than I am.
Be supportive.
I'm a realist.
Be supportive.
I'm a realist. Anyway, there's our little baseball talk. Did we spend enough time on the Shockers? I think we did. There's really not a whole lot to say other than they had a really bad game. They play a really bad team in Alcorn State. Is that tonight?
Thursday.
Then they play a decent team in East Tennessee State. Then they play a pretty good team in DePaul. They certainly have a coach who knows what he's doing. And then they have K-State. And we'll find out a lot about the Shockers over those three games. East Tennessee State.
Yes.
DePaul.
Not the games that sandwich
State.
But those three, yes.
Yeah, we're not going to learn a lot about how they do against Friends. No offense to Friends, but that's not going to tell us a lot.
It's going to tell us nothing. And I hate those games.
Yeah, there's no need for them. You know, Wichita State's going to have to understand, in my opinion, and I've basically said this to Kevin Saul, that you better schedule good home games. They don't all have to be five-star. And I know it's tough to get people to come here, and you don't need to get Duke to come here.
Right, just get some.
But you need to get
name value. That's
you
all.
You need to get Boise State to come here, or Colorado State, or teams like that.
Yeah,
Temple. Well, Temple's in their conference.
Speaking of in their conference, do you see the bowl projections? Colorado's going to play BYU.
But they didn't play in the regular season.
No, isn't that weird?
That's what you're going to see more and more of with teams that didn't play in the regular season.
I know, because you can't avoid it.
Conferences are overstacked.
Right.
And we'll see. We'll see what the bowls look like.
We will. I look at that stuff frequently, the bowl projections. I don't know. I just find it very interesting.
Who cares about bowl projections?
That's what I'm saying.
I used to write an annual column on the bowl game.
I know,
you remember that?
You should try that again. Maybe I'll take it this year.
That was pretty good stuff.
It was okay.
I could never do anything really good in your eyes.
Could I?
Of course you could.
Like what?
Well, your Friday Five. You had an idea. You came through. You continued it, except we had one lapse.
Well, I was out of town. They picked it up and did it for me.
I was out of town a lot, and I did what I needed.
Really? You did your job?
Sure,
you're on vacation?
Absolutely.
Well, that's not vacation then. That's just doing your job from somewhere else.
Well, if I had an obligation, I took care of it.
The Friday Five was done that week.
Who did it?
Matt Heilman.
I didn't see it. Who was he, was it good?
No.
So now you're knocking Matt Heilman.
He knows. I've told him.
He does a good job, by the way.
Matt Heilman's awesome. He's a wonderful person and a good friend.
He does a good job. Thanks to Max Power. 869-1240. That is the IHOP hotline. Brought to you by IHOP, the original breakfast partner, official breakfast partner of Xbox. And they have loaded French toast for you to try. I had some French toast the other day for the first time in
French toast
a long while.
Good.
It was good.
What's loaded? What's it got in there?
Whipped cream, bananas, strawberries. You name it.
Whipped cream French toast by itself, still pretty reliable.
Very good. Powdered sugar.
That little syrup.
But you put some strawberries and bananas. That's what I'm calling loading it up.
It sure is. What?
I don't know.
What?
You're just not in it today.
That's not true at all. I think I've been very enthusiastic.
I've tried to engage. I've tried to interact.
All I've done is engage.
Tried to bring you in, and it's just not happening.
That's not true at all.
What's the Monday night game? It's a bad one, isn't it? Denver?
Browns in Denver.
Yeah.
A lot of orange in that game.
We all won our fantasy games.
Yeah. I'm on a roll.
I think I played Duda in the final week. Josh Allen was a good pick.
So was Lamar, although he did not play very well yesterday.
Josh Allen only threw for 148 yards last night in the snowstorm in Buffalo, but threw for two touchdowns, ran for one, and caught his own pass for another.
What happened? Was that – it wasn't he didn't catch his own pass. He threw it to Cooper, right? And Cooper like –
Well, he caught his own pass.
No, Cooper caught it.
And then Cooper threw it?
And then Cooper gave it back to Allen, which somehow is a catch for Josh Allen, but not a reception. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, he had four touchdowns, and I was able to win my game.
Congrats.
Duda was able to win his game. He's had a remarkable year in fantasy.
Yeah, I've been Baylor. I just keep winning late.
And I lost McCaffrey again last night.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I've got Pacheco to replace him with now.
Yeah, but Pacheco's on like a innings limit.
Well, I mean, I also have Dowdle from Dallas, who's been good.
He was good last week.
So I'm set. I've done a marvelous job as the general manager of my team.
Yeah, we just waited for our guys to round into shape. We didn't make a ton of moves.
Well, that's because you don't know how.
And then we get Chase Brown, who gets going. We drafted him. Rashad White's had some good games. Brian Robinson, another guy we drafted.
You didn't do anything to improve your team.
Yeah, we drafted well.
I'm going to be in the playoffs.
So am I.
I feel like I've got a good shot at it.
So do we. We're second in the league in points. I might be first after this week.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you.
Let's see where we are in points. Well, you are, for the love of the game, is number one. Virgil, number two.
Thought I was second in points.
You're number three. I'm down a little bit in points, but I might have the best defense you've ever seen in
football. Oh, yeah, that's what you need.
Well, you play teams that on the weeks they don't perform well.
Yeah, we're better than Virgil.
Virgil's always solid.
That's all I really care about. We beat him. We're going to finish with more points than him. It'll be good.
I pay some attention to fantasy football still. The competitive nature of my being won't allow me to just let go of it.
Yeah, I wish I was
better at it. I'm just middling.
You're having good, okay.
Did I win it one year?
I doubt it. I'm pretty sure I won it two or three times.
You've never won anything.
Never?
On this show, no.
I won picks last year.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. You were not here, and you sending in your picks by mail is not how we do things.
And when have I ever done that?
And we were very disappointed last year.
When have I ever done that?
Last year.
Is that the year I just kind of went away for a while?
Yeah.
I thought you liked that.
Well, it's fine. Do whatever you want. But don't act like you're still keeping tabs.
I had a lot going on last
year. And you didn't even call in to make picks.
Remember how much I had going on?
Well, you couldn't call?
No. Heavens, no.
So weak.
I'm trying to get a building open. I'm trying to get people hired. I'm trying to get...
What if I just stop calling for
picks? I'm trying to get a field built. You know what I'm allowed to do that you're not on this show?
Nothing.
Pretty much everything.
Nothing.
You know what the ramifications are going to be for me when I don't call?
Yeah, you...
There will be zero.
It makes the show look second rate when one of its hosts won't even call in to make picks.
I sent them in.
Sent them in. That's not calling.
That's all I could do.
You really? We're going to have to explore that.
You know who's never said a word about it? Tony Dusing or the higher-ups at Odyssey.
Oh, they have.
I'll tell you right now.
They sure have.
Basically, I won't say I'm untouchable when it comes to Tony and the folks at Odyssey. But they give me a lot of leeway.
You might be untouchable, but you're obviously also very replaceable. Because we got through that time just fine.
Yeah, I'd hate to show you the ratings. I've seen them.
You have?
Yes. And you wouldn't want to see them. I'll just say that.
They dropped off a lot?
Well, I'm not going to show them to you.
Just tell me.
You talk about hook, line, and sinker.
Well, just tell me then.
They didn't do that. You didn't. They weren't that good.
Really? Okay, well, I'll ask Tony if that's the case.
Well, I don't even think he keeps them for that long. But you guys did fine, from what I hear.
Well, either you hear or you saw them.
Well, I saw them and I heard.
What'd you see?
I saw the rating.
How bad were they? just tell us.
Man, you are so easy.
You didn't see the ratings.
Of course I saw the ratings.
Then tell us.
They weren't great.
How bad?
Middling.
Really?
Middling. But what do you expect? You take away half the show, or three quarters of the show, and you're going to have a drop-off in ratings.
Well, that's stupid. I think people are dumb.
What if they took Joe Buck off of Sunday Night Football?
No one would care. And he does Monday Night Football.
What if they took him off Monday Night Football?
Who cares? The game is the attraction.
I agree with that. But don't you prefer listening to high-quality broadcasters?
I mean, it's more noticeable when they're not good, right? A good broadcaster, you just kind of fades into the background.
Yeah, but those of us who are in the field and who have watched sports for a long time.
So how bad were the ratings, really?
They weren't good. They were...
I'll text Tony.
They were above water, I'll just say that.
I'm going to ask Tony. I am.
Oh, what a way to go out. What a way to end the show. I've never been happier. I've never been happier.
Was that even last year or the year before?
Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald, Jamel Hulaparic for being on the show today. Jesse Newell will be on with us tomorrow to talk Chiefs. We'll have a game, and we hope we'll have you. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.